You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. That Mac built, which is All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. So, welcome to my house. Actually, it's our house. It's a big house, just so you know. Got a room for a TBI. Got a room for amputees. Got a room for general whack drops. Got a room for post-traumatic whatever you got. But it throws good parties, not gonna lie to you. Always crazy shit going on. And guess what? We like that. Our house. Yeah. A whole bunch of crazy people who don't settle. That's why they looked at all the different boot camps, those people who did. And said, no, I'll try that. Yeah. That's why we're different. You don't have to go any further than that. All the rest is just shining it up. Why are we different? Yeah, people always say, well, why is the Marine Corps different? The Marine Corps is different because the people are different. All the mythology that gets shoved in your face and all the craziness and all of our propaganda. Right? The crazy pictures of boot camp and things people see. That's intimidating. Imagine being a young person. We don't soft sell that shit either. It's everywhere. Videos, blah, 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 blah. Welcome to my house. No, it's what attracted me to the Marine Corps. That edge. Yeah, very cool. So to me, yeah, that's what does make it different. I'll try that. When most normal people were saying, "Nah, man, I'm cool. I'll try that instead." And the other thing that's amazing is how many people from other services will walk up and tell you that. You know, I want to join the Marine Corps, man, because you guys have cool looking uniforms. But that whole boot camp thing, man, that's like craziness. Like, yeah, you're right, it is. But guess what? We don't want you then, right? We neither want nor need you. We'll be nice to you though. But, yeah. But don't admit that to people, man. If you joined another service but wanted to join the Marine Corps, don't be admitting that. Trash talk your own service. You know what? I wanted to join the Marine Corps, but I joined the Army because I didn't want to be soft. Yeah, boom. Yeah, drop that one. And you'd see head snap. What'd you just say? That's right. You heard me? Army. Hardcore. But that's how we would do it. Yeah. Never even considered another. And just my example. I used to watch. I'd sit in the bullpen. My dad was managing the Padres, right? San Diego Padres. in 1973, 74, 75, 76, something like that. 74, 75, 76. Hold on, I got my ticket from opening night in San Diego. April 9th, 1974. So 74, 75, 76, and he got fired in 77. So, yeah, I learned a few things in San Diego. One, like I went to the beaches. Yeah, they don't have this kind of stuff in Sacramento, so I'm coming to school down here as quick as I can, and I did. And I left Sacramento. Yeah, Colleen, my youngest, said she wants to go to college in Sacramento. I said, what did you just say to me? Yeah, that's fine. Go hang out with your aunt. That's good for you. I'm not sure that's true because my sister's a little bit crazy. But anyway, yeah, so that's one thing I saw. The other thing is, my dad, I couldn't sit down in the dugout. So I went and sat in the bullpen. And which was fun, because they watch the game, but they have all kinds of other discussions. So it was funny, chew tobacco, learn how to spit, all that kind of stuff, and warm up the left fielder. So when you're sitting out there on Sundays, MCRD and the Naval Training Center, when it was there in San Diego, it's now, the Navy has one at Great Lakes, they would send a company. I don't know, probably 150 guys, something like that, 200 people, who knows. And so the Marines would be sitting there kind of at, not at the position of attention, but, you know, pretty squared away. There wasn't a whole lot of craziness. The drill instructors were standing in the aisles with their campaign covers on, living the advertisement there, right? But the Navy recruits, they'd be taking pictures with women, they'd be doing their thing, and the contrast was striking. And then from what I had read growing up as a kid, I read in the Scholastic Book Club, if you look up Scholastic Book Club, there's a section called Hall of Fame Readers. I'm in there. Yeah, go find it. Hall of Fame Readers, Military for Little Kids. You see Michael McNamara, St. Charles Borromeo, Elementary School, Sacramento, California. I wore that shit out. Guadalcanal Diary, all like Midway, Guam. I read all that stuff. And it sucked back then because they didn't have good pictures. They didn't have good maps. Yeah, it was bullshit. But I read it anyway, man. I was like on the Marine Corps. And I had no affiliation. My dad was in the Army. So, yeah. So guys like me, I didn't even, when I said, thought, well, maybe I should join the military. Yeah, there was only one place I went. Talk to a Marine recruiter. What do I have to do? Yeah, so that's our house. But, you know, again, it is what makes us different. Because when you don't know anything about it, like I didn't, like I just showed up. Like, I had seen Officer and a Gentleman. But, you know, I thought, I've always been confident in my abilities, both physically and mentally. I've always done okay. But Marine Corps, man. And then, you know, like my family did what everybody did. They threw a little party before I left for officer candidate school. And then once they shave your head, it's like, man, I can't go home now because I'm going to get dogged. Hey, man, when'd you get back? Last week. Man, that's a cool haircut. That's a cool haircut. So what are you doing in the Marine Corps? I didn't make it. Yikes. Yeah, that was not happening. In spite of Major General Craig Q. Timberlake. I wonder what that Q stands for anyway. I should find out. He's my platoon sergeant. Dogging me, McNarama. Yeah, I wasn't having any of his bullshit either. But anyway, so good morning to you on a Friday. Bunch of stuff in the news. I don't know if I want to talk about it. Here's what I'm happy about, though. I am happy the president's forcing a confrontation on the border thing. We need to get our border act together so we can deal with the immigration thing. And I'm sick of the whole election year bullshit. My country nauseates me at times, and it nauseates me relative to the issue on the border. While I was watching the news this morning, the San Diego County Commission now is looking into, now if you want to see a county that gets hammered, by immigration, it is San Diego County. Yeah. The largest city on the border. Wait, El Paso? No. Largest city on the border, San Diego, California. So San Diego County is now looking into how they can join either the federal suit or file their own suit against the state of California because they need relief. So interesting, but they're not interested. It was kind of interesting watching the interviews. They're not interested in doing something symbolic. And I want to say, I don't know who I saw. It's this woman right here. I don't know her name. She said, I've been, my district is along the border. And let's see. I think her name is Diane Jacob. Let me see if I can play this video, if it works. But she represents, and she's represented a district that just gets overrun. And the stories are, honestly, when you meet people that work down there, I have a friend who will remain nameless, who works on the border. The stories that they tell you are straight up crazy. Yeah, they are. They're crazy. The tunnels, the human smuggling, the what we would call in the military reconnaissance and force, where drug organizations send armed vehicles with automatic weapons across to essentially secure an area so that they can do their big drug business and then leave the state. Yeah, it's a military operation. Crazy. So you hear these crazy stories, and then people want to act like, yeah, that doesn't really exist. Well, it does on the border. It does on the border. And so it's interesting as first, what, Los Alamitos? Los Alamitos is just a little bit south of Long Beach. So they were the first political entity in California to stand up and say, yeah, we're not about this. So I want you to hear, how long is this video? So this is San Diego County, and the scenes in these council chambers are crazy. It's like, how dare you tell us that we should control our borders? Okay, and so and what I would tell everybody out there that on both sides of the immigration issue, 11 million people are not going away. They're not going to be deported, no matter what Ann Coulter says. Okay, right? She could take her country ass and just walk it someplace. Okay, people that are law-abiding people that have worked in this country are not going to self-deport. Okay, that is not happening. So don't bother me with that whole argument, okay? Let's just stop. All right. The Dreamers will get some kind of legal status and a pathway to citizenship that may take them 10 years. I don't rightly know. Okay. Their parents, in my opinion, there'll be some compromise worked out where they will get some kind of legal status short of citizenship. Okay. That is all predicated on making sure that we don't have to do this again. If that's not the first step in this, then the rest of it is ridiculous because you're just going to do it again. So the solutions to all those other problems lie in the first solution, which is you got to control the border, both in terms of drugs and in terms of illegal immigration, right? And you got to put some sanity back into our immigration laws. So anyway, but the people that live it are on the border. And so to me, what the president does in terms of sending the National Guard there, now people might say, well, that's bullshit, blah, 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 blah. Bush did it. Obama did it. What does the Guard do? Mike and I were talking about it yesterday. They go down there and they do support functions that frees up agents that are doing those support functions to go out and do enforcement. Okay. So do that. Does that help? I think the Border Patrol would tell you that in a day and age where they struggle to meet numbers, that absolutely helps. We'll take all the help we can get down here. Okay. But I will tell you, so all the solution to the dreamers lies on the border. The solution to the parents of the dreamers lies on the border. Okay. Those are all going to be compromises and they lie on the border. But the people that are getting hammered are the people that currently live down there. Okay, so here's, I want you to listen to, this is San Diego County Supervisor Diane Jacobs, right? So just listen to what she has to say in terms of what they deal with on a regular basis.
San Diego County Board of Supervisors is considering backing the Trump administration's lawsuit against that law. A closed-door meeting is set for April 17th. San Diego County Supervisor Diane Jacob is leading this effort, and she joins us now. Diane, welcome. Good to have you on the show.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
So tell us what's going on here. Why are you potentially joining up with the likes of Orange County on this one?
This is a major public safety issue. And let's be clear, this is about people that are coming into our country illegally and they're breaking the law. They're criminals. And we've had a really, really good relationship between our sheriff's department and federal law enforcement agencies in the past, before this law was put into effect. Mm-hmm. And this basically places a huge wedge between that relationship. So we've got probably in San Diego County jails about 7% at any given time of our jail population are people who are illegally in this country. And that amounts to, could be up to 300, 400 individuals. Those are people, if they're let loose and we don't have that cooperative arrangement between local law enforcement and the federal authorities, they're released onto the streets to commit another crime, and who's to say that they're not going to do just that? Mm-hmm. Public safety is a number one priority of government. That's sure. The reason governments were founded in the first place, keep people safe. And that's the number one priority in San Diego County. So I'm hopeful that my board in San Diego County will join Orange County in their fight against this really bad law in California.
Well, Diane, what kind of response are you seeing from other supervisors there?
Well, we'll know on the 17th of April.
Uh-huh. I mean, just talking to them and them hearing your thoughts, are they receptive or are you a bit alone in this effort?
Well, I am cautiously optimistic that we'll have at least 3 votes out of the 5, and that's all it takes. It would be great to have it be unanimous just because this is a major public safety issue. It's about keeping people safe. It's about keeping our neighborhoods safe.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of the Oakland mayor and all that's happened there in terms of trying to protect those people that are in that area illegally?
Well, I think they're wrong. I think they're absolutely wrong. There is an issue of the law, and there are those that really throw some very disparaging remarks against people like me and others who stand up for the law and we stand up for the Constitution. And I think this is,
well, they might
so
say you're being un-American, right? I mean, isn't that kind of the line? Like, oh, this country has to welcome everyone. We have a history of wonderful immigration. We've all come from immigrants. So if you're not willing to allow these people to be here illegally, they may look at you, Diane, and say, well, you don't embrace what America is. You are somehow a bad person because you don't want that melting pot of diversity here in the United States. What do you say in response?
Well, we have diversity here, and we have a legal immigration policy and a legal path for people to come into this country, and we've had it for many, many years. I am proud to be an American, and I'm proud to welcome immigrants into this country who come to America through the legal process. That's what makes America the way it is today. I think there's another important issue here. Is federal law going to be prevailing over states' rights on this particular issue?
Yeah.
There are certain issues that are delegated in the Constitution to states. This is not one.
No, I mean, look, if you're a country, you've got to have...
So it's a big deal in San Diego. It's a big deal. She's gone on and done other interviews and talked about the things that she's seen in her district in San Diego, and it's incredible. So I want the president to burn it down on immigration because not because anybody's anti-immigrant, you know, and because I don't think anybody who says we should secure the border would articulate that position. Although some, you know, there are idiots everywhere. But the key to solving the other issues is to make sure it doesn't happen again. So I'm happy about that. So confrontation, not a problem. Okay, the other confrontation that, if you listen to the program, I'm spoiling for is the one with China. Okay, and I know farmers are going to take it, or I know people are going to take it, but let me just tell you, our boy Grant Newsham sent me an email last night. Let me find it. So Newsham, yeah, he's on the other side of the world, and so I get these things at odd hours of the night. The headline is it's the Asia Pacific Bulletin, all right, and it's the EastWestCenter.org. Publications, Mariana Islands, U.S. Military Strategy on Hold, by Grant Newsham. In a recent Bloomberg article about the Chinese-owned Imperial Pacific Casino on Saipan in the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands, makes a compelling tale of large-scale money laundering and corruption in local government. However, half the story is missing. That is, Chinese resort developers serving, wittingly or not, as part of the People's Republic of China's economic-slash-political warfare scheme and stymieing U.S. military efforts to further develop training areas on Saipan. In particular, the U.S. Navy and Marine Corps' long-standing plans to develop the uninhabited Pagan Island 200 miles north of Saipan as an amphibious training area, the only such U.S.-controlled training site west of Hawaii, is on hold once again. Saipan and Guam, both American territories, are strategically important given their locations in the Western Pacific close to Asia. The well-developed U.S. naval and air facilities on Guam are especially important. While neither location has received the attention it deserves from Washington, the U.S. Navy and Air Force have maintained and are gradually expanding a presence on Guam. Important multilateral naval and air exercises are routinely held in and around Guam and Saipan. Meanwhile, preparations and infrastructure construction are underway to eventually move more than 8,000 Marines from Okinawa to Guam. So what the Chinese have done is they've gone in there with an economic opportunity, they've set the hook, and then they begin to pull on it. And that this shit has to stop. Okay? So, we have had, Barack Obama seems like a very, very nice guy. Okay? But he was a weak president. No matter how you rack and stack his 8 years, weakness. Right, George Bush, I don't know if he was better, any better relative to confronting Russia or China or North Korea or Iran. George Bush made two mistakes that we still pay for today. Those are the one in Iraq and the expansion of the ground war in Afghanistan. And we're still attempting to make those things right. I think as well we should. So I'm for the trade war with China. I am pro-tariff. I am pro, let's throw the carcass in the middle of the room. $350 billion surplus between us and the Chinese because we don't have access to their markets. And anybody who tries to spin it any other way is feeding you bullshit, okay? $350 billion. Yeah, that's a million except with a B. And what they've done with other countries is what they're attempting to do with the United States, which is set the hook. And you hear this, hey, we've got all your treasuries, we'll dump them. Go ahead, asshole, dump them. Where are you going to put all your money? Go ahead and put them in Russian rubles, see where that gets you. Yeah, go put it into your own currency, see where that gets you. Oh, yeah. Anyway. So those things are making me happy today. Confrontation is making me happy. And the same thing with the Russians, right? United States isolating the criminal element, attempting to isolate the criminal element in Russia. It's the mafia that runs Russia. And Vladimir Putin is included in that. Okay, bad people, you know, running their own little criminal enterprise in the form of a nation. What a gig, huh? The drug cartels tried to do that with Mexico, but now they're getting pushback. Okay, so, but it's an awesome gig if you can get it, right? Saddam Hussein had one. Kim's got one. Criminal enterprise disguised as a nation. Yeah. Vito Corleone shit. So anyway, I'm happy that's, and I will tell you what, I will muse out loud because I read stuff. I haven't had one woman that's come on this program and advocate for complete integration of recruit training. Every one of them has come on and argued for the OCS model, which is separate platoon, and they believe that women, when they go into the pipeline, that's good. That's not a bad thing for women. Okay? And so, I've seen articles written. Now, let me tell you, but here's the problem, right? There's a difference between the genders. I don't know if anybody's ever pointed that out to you, but men are different from women. Yeah. And when you're in the Marine Corps and people are selling you there's no difference between us, and then you go out and you run the O course and you stand there and wait as the females finish running it and they're minutes behind you, okay? And it is that way with every physical thing you do. Even the dumbest among us conclude like, yeah, they're slow. They're slower than men. Right? Even the dumbest conclude they're weaker than men. Now, Mac, whoa. And so then somebody stands up and says, well, there's no difference. Stupid private. McNamara from Sacramento. What, private? Sir, I think there is a difference. Like, I don't know if anybody's ever, like, said this out loud, but they're always in the back, except for, like, two of them, and they're in the middle, or one of them's towards the front. She's a freak. Okay? And that's okay. But why do you keep telling us we're the same when we know we're not? We see that we're not. And so there's this, I think, dishonesty in this we're all the same. We're not the same. And when you're in a physical endeavor, when you're in a physical endeavor, it jumps out at you in spades. You have to slow down the hike. Why? Because they can't keep up. Sir, if you keep going at this pace, they're going to be strung out for a mile. So be it. But you don't hear so be it. You slow the hike down. Why? Because we don't want to have them get embarrassed and blah, 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 blah. And so there's this bullshit argument that goes on in the Marine Corps. And then what happens is there's ridicule because of it. You know? And so you have an organization that's somewhere between 94 and 90% male. Okay? And it's a macho event, too. Marine Corps, macho. Yeah, in Tun Tavern, they're drinking. They're like, okay, so what do we get in the United States? Something that starts with an M because it's going to be macho. Macho, macho, macho. How about Marines? Marines. We're going to go to, we're going to go aboard ship, so Marines, macho. Yeah, got it. Yeah, it's a macho fest, right? The whole Marine thing is a, you know, quién es más macho? Who's the most macho? Tough guys, right? Went ashore on Iwo Jima, went ashore on Guadalcanal, up at the Chosen Reservoir. Badasses, right? Khe Sanh, all these different places. Tough guys, Hue City, tough guys, Fallujah, Ramadi, Helmand, Sangin, tough guy, tough guy, tough guy. You want something tough, guy? You want something tough done? Send the Marines. That's right. And it's right. But and then, but we're having this own, you know, we're having this own kind of inner turmoil, you know, that people stand up and they say things that simply aren't true, and so there's articles floating around. I read another one this morning, and there. Let me tell you, the harassment part is bullshit. Okay, is bullshit, and I think the Marine Corps is doing a good job at trying to change an institution that is between 60 and 65% under the age of 25. Okay? That's been in the organization for less than 3 years. That turns over 60% of the organization every 3 years. Okay? That's a lot of new people, especially in at the low end. So we have this turmoil about being politically correct, but what we know to be true and our mission. What is our mission? To locate, close with, and destroy the enemies of the United States of America. Okay? Now, does that mean that we're going to slow down for you? Hell no, it doesn't mean. It means you're going to speed up for us, or guess what? You're going to go find another line of work. And it's not for everybody. Okay, so I don't know. This argument inside the Marine Corps of what are women? Well, they're not men. Okay, they're not. And let me just tell you some of the bullshit that went on in the Marine Corps. The Marine Corps had female engagement teams that went with squads on patrol, right? Michelle Obama and Joe Biden, one of them comes to Camp Pendleton. Who do they want to see? They want to go visit wounded families? No, they want to see the female engagement teams, right? And then they hold them up and say, these guys fought alongside men. Well, kind of. Do you want the footnotes? No, I don't want the footnotes. Shut the fuck up with that shit. Oh, my bad. Sorry, Mrs. Biden. You want to see anybody else? Nope. That's all I got time for. Awesome. Get them invited to the White House. Awesome. You know, and good for those Marines. That's great. But don't paint a skewed picture of the truth. And then you get involved in the PC police. And then you get involved with senators. Okay? There is no place for harassment, right? There is no place for the picture sharing. That's all bullshit, okay? But the Marine Corps has a job that it does for the nation, and that is when somebody hits a button and they say, you guys pack your shit and go. You pack your shit and you go. And when you close with the enemy, you don't slow it down for anybody or anything. Either you're on board or get the hell off if you can't hang. And so we have this turmoil in the Marine Corps. It involves chauvinism in a young male organization that at worst is 90% male. Okay? At worst is 90% male. Go upwards of that depending on what we're recruiting. And there's been efforts made in recruiting to recruit. You've seen the commercials, right? You know, the rugby player, you know, is fight somebody in the hallway at school. Yeah. Marine Corps now sponsors women's wrestling, I think women's lacrosse. So we're looking, the Marine Corps has changed, like we're targeting, and that's one of Kate Germano's, it's kind of an interesting part of all this. One of her criticisms of the Marine Corps years ago, and they've addressed it. Hey, we go out and recruit men, right? So in a force, I've got to recruit one girl this quarter. And I've got to recruit 10 men this quarter, 9 men this quarter. I go recruit the men, and the woman will just walk up to the table, and I'll recruit her. We don't specifically target her. We're not looking to recruit her. We just accept her. And so what does that do to your quality? Well, that's a good question, and she was very critical of that. But I think Paul Kennedy came on and talked about that. He said, we're beyond that. We are profiling. They're poolies now. All the things that we do with male recruits, we do with female recruits, and we're targeting certain spectrums. We just have this inner turmoil, and it's part to do with the harassment. And then what happens is because the Marine Corps gets knocked on its heels because there are idiots among us who do stupid things. They say, you're a chauvinistic organization. You're not doing enough. Okay, we'll do more. And so you hear that. Then it's like, that gets turned into something that I want to see done politically. I want you to do boot camp like the Army does. Well, the Marine Corps has looked at that, considered it, and rejected it. In fact, General Kennedy, I should play that interview. General Kennedy came on and said, parents of female Marines don't want that. They want their daughters to have some time to get acclimated to the Marine Corps before they're thrown in, you know, to the general inmate population. The OCS model, as it's known. And I haven't had anybody that's come on, and I should probably play a couple of these interviews next week, that's advocated for that. But we go through that. So that's in my head this morning. So we have this inner turmoil that, in my opinion, is unresolved in the Marine Corps. And let me tell you, and I can't imagine this, all right? So now we're going to take, and Lauren Serrano came on, Captain Type. She wrote a paper called, that I think, Why Women Don't Belong in U.S. Infantry Units, something like that. And then she wrote another one here within the last year that talks about, does the Marine Corps still want a woman? Or do you want this kind of man woman? Do I still fit into the Marine Corps? Can I be like a woman? Can I be a mom? And can I still contribute to the Marine Corps? Or do you not want me anymore? Because I don't have the time to change my body to become a man. Because guess what? I'm not a man. Okay? And her point was, I've had 2 kids in 3.5 years. Okay? Am I going to be humiliated now because people want me to be a guy? Am I going to get run out of the Marine Corps because I can't be a guy? Now, I could do 11 pull-ups when I was in Afghanistan, and I wasn't doing anything else, right? But now that I come home, I have kids. I can't go to the gym. I don't have a pull-up bar in my office. I can't be kind of a hybrid girl. Is the Marine Corps okay with that? And the Marine Corps says, yeah, we're okay with it. Okay? So what is the Marine Corps okay with? Now, on top of that, let me put the cherry on top of this little soliloquy and this turmoil in the Marine Corps. The Gender Integration Task Force concluded, and I think you can find this on the All Marine Radio. Let me digress for 1 second before I make this final point, and we hear Whitney Houston at 40 minutes into the program. If you go on show notes, if you go to the All Marine Radio website, that thing is awesome, okay? Just so you know. It's my guy from North Dakota and I, we made that thing look pretty cool. So whether you're listening on your phone or on a desktop computer, pretty straight up bitching if you ask me. All right, if you go to show notes, I think, unless I'm mistaken, Battlefield Studies, Discharge, Links. If I took it off, I'm going to be pissed. Hold on. Links. Shit. Now I'm pissed. Transgender study. Mattis's recommendation to the president on transgenders. Discharge upgrade information. Cooking with Kimbo. And Battlefield Studies. What the hell, man? Now I'm pissed. All right, what I'm looking for is the ground combat integration study, because I was going to read from that. But the website looks really cool, just so you know. Anyway, let me find it here. The conclusion of the ground combat integration study was that the top females that participated in the studies were equal to or below the bottom 5% of males. Now, that's not a slam on anybody, okay? I'm looking. And we had Ann Weinberg on. She was the deputy. I served with Ann in Iraq. I taught her at the basic school. That's why she's locked on. And so we have a problem with that. Will exceptional females be able to do that job? Yeah, but they better be exceptional. And just consider this. Now the other thing that the Marine Corps has done is that they say, okay, I'm a female. Okay, Captain McNamara, we're now going to assign you to 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines. I'll make myself a magnificent bastard. All right, you're now going to be a magnificent bastard, which is the title of the nickname of the battalion. Okay. So now, and you're going to be the S4, the logistics officer. Okay, awesome. But I've got to go hump with these jackasses, right? So when the battalion goes hiking, I've got to put on their load and go at their pace. What happens if I can't keep up? What happens if I fall out of the hike? Well, I'll tell you what happens if you're an officer and you fall out of hikes. If you get treated like a male, what happens is you get counseled and you get told that you better get your shit together. Now, is that fair? I mean, can you imagine how terrifying that is? That every time, and let me just tell you, so it's appropriate that I use 2-4 because they're out on the West Coast. Okay, and the part of Camp Pendleton they're in is flat or mountainous? Oh, it's mountainous. Right? And some of you may or may not have heard, there's a hill outside of San Mateo called First Sergeant Hill, right? You'll head up that. You'll head up the fire breaks. You do all that when you hike. At First Marines, there's a mountain called Mount Motherfucker, right? You can conclude for yourself why it got that name, okay? And when you hike, you go up those things. Can you imagine how terrifying it would be? As a woman, now I've got to put on the weight that they carry along with my helmet, my flak jacket, and I've got to do this hike. And what is this career ending? Is this career detrimental? Is that fair? So the Marine Corps exists in this turmoil, and you have friction with guys when you say they can do what you can do, and the answer you get is bullshit. So I don't know what the answer is. There is an element of reality that needs to be injected, right? On one hand, yes, there are biological differences. Yes, it will take a very unique woman to do this. We should admit that straight up, right? We're all not interchangeable. That's why there's a separate PFT. That's why they have different height and weight standards for men and women. Those are concessions to biology. Yet Marine Corps is still struggling with this. Does it make them less Marines? Hell no. Absolutely, positively, hell no. But when you stick somebody into the wrong spot, and then you tell everybody, yeah, they're good to go, and everybody looks at you and says, oh, they're not, that's how this shit gets sideways. That's how this shit gets sideways. And what the commandant at the time, who is now the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, endeavored to do with the ground combat integration study was to take units out and put them out and measure performance and see where does this take us, what should we do. And that's the one that the Secretary of the Navy, before it was even published, shit all over. Why? Because he's a politician, and he knows the Obama administration ain't going to play that game. Because, yeah, Marine Corps, shut up and color, okay? Here's where we're going. This is a political issue. We're not going to side with you. Okay, I got it. So the truth doesn't matter. Exactly. This is politics. The truth never matters. Where did you think that the truth mattered? Who would give you that impression? I don't know. I thought, like, the truth did matter. Oh, my God. How stupid can one group of people be? I don't know, but I just thought it was, like, important that it be truthful and blah, blah, blah. Oh, my God. What do we do with such rubes like you stupid-ass Marines? So, anyway. So, you have people that will use this issue to further an agenda, which is completely integrated boot camp. Okay? And you should get the footnotes on that. Why has the Marine Corps looked at it? Why has the Marine Corps rejected it? Right? What do females think? I have not had one that has come on this program and said that they believe in integrated training from the get-go. Not one. Okay? So the next one will be the first one. Okay? And then we also need to be, you know, everybody, hey, we now have measures of performance. You either can meet the requirement or you can't. But this stupid game that the Marine Corps plays, where we're going to say, we all know that somebody can't do it, but we're going to fake it and tell everybody they can. And that's that whole thing, like, point to the ceiling. That direction's now up. No, I mean down. That direction's now down. No, it's not. That's up. No, it's down. Got it? No, but that's always been up. It's down now. Do you understand? And so the turmoil continues. Yeah, I woke up early. I'm getting sick. I think I'm getting a sinus infection. You should be able to hear it in my voice. Yeah. Anyway, so I woke up and I was reading and I read something and it irritates me. Now, let me tell you this. Oh, McNamara's chauvinistic. No, McNamara has eyes. I went to OCS with females in my company. So, you know, I went to the basic school with females in my company. Okay? Nobody has to tell me about how they are when they hike. Nobody has to tell me about what they're capable of the field. Then I went back to the basic school, and I taught female Marine officers. I taught them patrolling. I taught them squadding the attack. Okay? Slower and less capable physically. That's just happens with gender. Okay? And so when we won't admit those kind of things, I think how do you have a constructive argument? And so what does happen to the captain that wants to be in an infantry unit who falls out of the hike? Does she get treated like a guy, or should she be treated a different way? And then if we don't treat her like a guy, is it fair to the guys? If a guy falls out of the hike, what happens to him? What happens to the fat S4 Alpha First Lieutenant logistics officer who falls out of the hike? We'd hammer the shit out of him. But should she be held to that same standard? Well, I guess if there's only one standard, then yeah. So why as a woman would you ever go to an infantry unit and go up Mount Motherfucker and risk, you know, falling out? And, you know, so you can imagine there's two columns when we hike, right? One on each side of a dirt road, if you can imagine this, or an asphalt road, but we stay away from asphalt because it's hard to hike on. Anyway, so you're humping up this improved surface road. Two columns, you got the staff NCOs walking in the middle, yelling at people, busting balls, right, joking, blah, 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 and we're hiking. The people that fall out, they fall out right down the middle as we go walking by, and everybody sees, who's that? Oh, that's so-and-so. Ooh. And then if you know them and they're hurting, you'll hear Marines encourage them. Come on, man. You know, and sometimes they'll physically pull them. Or they'll take some equipment from him. Come on, man, you can do it. Get back up there. So, but again, does she get punished? Right? So if she's an officer, she's a captain, and she's falling out, and everybody's watching it, is she exalted because she's trying something more? But if you're going to treat her the same, then she should be jammed. With her fitness report, and that's the way it is. You want one set of rules, these are the rules. So, you can see, do you hear it? We've got the Marines United thing that says we're predators. You've got the gender thing that we can't really talk about in public because there's a political agenda. We've got people that want to use that to do something that the Marine Corps looked at and said, no, based on what recruits tell us, based on our experience, based on what the parents of recruits tell us, based on what female Marines tell us, we don't think in phase one that it's a good thing to throw everybody together. And we don't give a shit what the Army does, let alone the Air Force or the Navy. Pfft, who says they're any good at it? So, yeah. Anywho, Whitney Houston's going to sing the national anthem this morning. That's right. So, yeah, I've been awake, in case you can't tell. So my point is, at some point, somebody throw the carcass in this debate in the Marine Corps in the middle of the room and say, stop with the political bullshit, all right? You're using this argument to further a specific agenda, okay? Stop, okay? And those of you who feel guilty for the chauvinism of an organization that's 90 to 94% male, okay, it's a problem that gets fought all over the country in all virtually all male organizations that have women working in them. And when 60% of your employees are under the age of 25 and you turn over 60% of the organization every 3 years, guess what you're going to have? You're going to be fighting this, and it's got to be a consistent theme. And you are going to have stupid people that do stupid things. And then you do stupid tricks with them. And you make examples of them. But don't confuse the truth for your guilt. And don't allow the truth to be pushed aside so that political people can further their own agendas. And I don't think we're having that honest conversation in the Marine Corps. I don't. I think people are using elements of that conversation to further political agendas. All right. So, Whitney Houston now sings the national anthem. And this is dedicated to the truth, all right? To the truth. And I don't know that the truth is always at the top of the list when we talk. I think the more you get involved in different issues and institutions, you see the truth stifled and the immigration debate, in my opinion, is one, this issue in the Marine Corps of gender and how it works in the Marine Corps is another. And the thing with China, the thing with Russia and Iran, you cannot get in bed with dictators, right? It's just not going to be a quality sexual experience with a dictator. So this is dedicated to the truth.
my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
The aviation crashes that you've seen over the course of the last week, what's the cause? Well, no, you don't know for sure. But when Secretary of Defense talks about sequestration and that gutless event, you have a maintenance issue that has 50% of America's aircraft unable to fly. You have with that, you've heard pilots come on and talk about the difference between being, quote, current, which is a low threshold in terms of hours, maybe 5 or 6 hours a month, and being proficient, which is 20-something hours, okay? So those two issues are at play here. The Thunderbirds lose a pilot, the Marine Corps loses a crew of four out of a CH-53 Echo. And there's nobody knows what happened in either case. And then a Harrier pilot ejects on takeoff, which tells you that there is some kind of catastrophic emergency relative to the engine. And so he punched. But nobody knows. But there is a toxic cocktail of lack of spare parts, poor maintenance, that has plagued the United States military for years and overuse, about 15 or 16 years of overuse. Okay, so that toxic cocktail, you know, each one of these will have their own stories, and so we're talking a little bit about aviation next week. So see where we're at. Anyway. We'll check the weather, and then the chef's going to join us again today for the first time in almost a month. Sunny at 51 in Quantico at the crossroads of the Marine Corps. They have three weather advisories in effect right now. I'll tell you what they are. Special weather statement today for Quantico. Now I'm curious, since I have... a small craft advisory, gusty winds, blah, 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 blah. Okay, I'm not interested in that. Mostly sunny and 66 at Camp Lejeune. It is, cloudy and 72 in Granbury, Texas. It's a little bit warmer. Montana got colder. Yikes. 14 degrees with snow falling. Montana, man, he came on yesterday, man. He's trying to help... You know, he's trying to help calving season, and the cold weather's not helping. Mostly cloudy and 65 in 29 Palms. Clouds and 56 at Pendleton. Okinawa, dark, cloudy and 65. Marja, dark, clear, and 84 at the home of All Marine Radio. It is 56 degrees under cloudy skies. looking for a high of 70 today with mostly cloudy skies. Rain tonight, a low of 41. Rain on Saturday with a high of 46. That ain't right. Oh, this is for Quantico, for God's sakes. No shit, man. I was going to say, what? Yeah, 67 degrees with mostly cloudy today. For mañana, which is Saturday, 68 with clouds, and on Sunday, 73 with clouds. All right, that is a look at your weather here on a Friday morning. The All-Marine Radio head chef joins us next as we get going on a Friday. Don't touch that dial.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.